the reading of God's Word from the book of Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 9. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, offers these words. "For this reason," he says, "since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Well, the fall season has arrived, and for most of us, I dare say it couldn't have come soon enough. The heat of the summer has now given way to these brisk mornings and pleasant afternoons, and it won't be long you already see the signs of the trees beginning to turn. It will not be long before nature explodes in all of its brilliance. I can hardly wait. Can you? Well, this past, 2 weeks ago, Judy and I had decided that we would attempt to contribute in our small way to this explosion of brilliance, and so we went to our favorite home improvement store and we picked out what we thought would be the perfect plants to set out that would complement the other fall decorations that Judy had done. We brought home the plants. And we were very careful, we were most meticulous to care for them, to water them, to make sure that they got the right amount of sunlight. Everything in our power that we knew to nurture these plants to the point of brilliant explosion. But after 2 weeks, we could tell something wasn't right. The brownness of the stems was not exactly the shade that we were anticipating. The more we tried, the more effort we gave, it soon became clear to us that those plants were as dead as doornails. A nice Halloween embellishment, I guess, but that wasn't the vibe that we were going for. Fortunately, when we took them back to the home improvement store, they refunded our money with no argument whatsoever, because they have this huge banner in their landscape section. "We guarantee our plants and our flowers for one full year." No arguments whatsoever. They understand clearly that when people purchase something from the gardening department, they expect some growth in response. Which, interestingly enough, is the same thing God expects from His people whom He has purchased through the blood of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this expectation of growth, God's expectation of growth, throughout the Scripture. You see it in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, who speaks of God's people as a choice vine from the purest stock. God expects growth. We see it in the Gospels, where Jesus, in John's Gospel, is addressing His disciples, giving them the assurance that he is the vine and that we are the branches, and that when we abide in him, we bear much fruit. And now, in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he writes to the church, expressing to them his heartfelt desire, the prayer of his heart, he says, that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that is pleasing in his sight, and that each of you bears fruit in every good work as you grow in the knowledge of God. Paul's letter to the Colossians is what we know as a prison epistle, a prison letter. Paul wrote this letter from a Roman prison to a church that he actually had never visited. Paul never went to Colossae, as far as we can determine. And yet in this letter, Paul writes to the church, informing them the good news of how the gospel of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit throughout the world. That's how he phrases it. The gospel is bearing fruit throughout the world. And Paul says to the church that there's every reason to believe that the same gospel that is exploding brilliantly throughout the world can do the same in your community. It's like a horticulturist from Better Homes and Garden. You see all these lovely flowers and these plants. It's like the chief horticulturist coming to your home and holding up a magazine and saying, "Do you see all these beautiful plants and these beautiful flowers and all of this growth? It can happen in your yard, in your home, if only you will do what is expected of you." So as we hear Paul's word about the importance of bearing fruit in every good work, and as we ponder the possibilities of how that might happen in our community, in our church, what is required of us, what is the commitment that we must make, very clearly Paul says in this passage of Scripture that it's important that we seek the power of the Spirit so that we might then be able to be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, if we are sensitive to God's guidance, God's direction, the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, then we understand what God's will is in every circumstance and situation, and we then are in a place where we are able to give of ourselves in ways that contribute to the explosion of mercy and grace that God intends to see take place, that God expects to take place in our world. As I've served the church over the last 40 years, praying, working, watering, preaching, teaching for this level of explosion, this brilliant movement of the Spirit of God in every congregation, there's one excuse that I have heard over the course of my ministry that I have seen stymie the work of the Spirit more than any other excuse that any people have ever raised. You've probably heard the excuse. You probably used the excuse. I've had, on more than one occasion, in more than one congregation, people say to me, "Now, Pastor, I want you to understand that I would I would be more than happy to do the will of God if I only knew the will of God. If I really understood what God was calling me to do, I honestly believe that I would then be able to be about it. And I have to tell you that for 40 years, because the excuse just sounds so theologically airtight. I mean, it just sounds so good. I could do the will of God if I just knew the will of God. How do you address that? For 40 years, I've accepted it. I've smiled. I've nodded. But I'm doing it no more. Today it stops. I'm calling that excuse for what it is. It's a dodge. It's a loophole. It's a cop-out. The idea of doing the will of God, if only I knew the will of God, I'm done with accepting that excuse because I have been inspired by Paul's words to the church at Colossae, where Paul says to them that this notion of mystery and how the will of God somehow is beyond us, that excuse holds water no longer. It's in Colossians that Paul talks with the church who certainly rested upon this notion of mystery in their day. Greeks loved mystery in the first century world. There was an entire system of belief that developed around the concept of mystery, but it's in Colossians that Paul says to the church that the mystery that has been hidden for generations has now been disclosed to the saints. The mystery that has been revealed is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, so that when we come to a place in our faith journeys where we are fully open to the presence of Jesus, where we just respond to what we do know. What we do know in that moment, in that setting, in that circumstance, as God gives guidance. We begin, Paul says, to live in such a way that our lives are worthy. And they're pleasing to the Lord. And our lives begin to bear fruit in every good thing that we're about. You see what Paul is saying is the gateway to becoming the kind of believer who lives into God's expectations. Do you see the trajectory that is required of us as a congregation to become the kind of church that lives into God's expectations? A church that bears fruit in every good work. I never thought I would make the following statement because it seems so hackneyed and so trite and so simplistic. But do you know what I hear Paul challenging the church to be about? What I hear Paul praying for the church to do? Paul is saying, you bloom where you are planted. I never thought I would make that statement in a pulpit. Because it just seems to be more appropriate to a poster in a dorm room. You bloom where you are planted. That's really what he's saying, though. That when you think about where God has put you, where the Spirit has led you. You think about your family life. Or you think about your work life, the people that you enjoy leisure activities with. You think about the challenges and the opportunities and the possibilities and the obstacles. You think of all of those things. If you are serious about bearing fruit, living as a believer in those places, attaining the kind of life that God expects His people to show, you ask yourself in those situations, how would a person of faith respond in this setting, in your work, at home, in your leisure activities, when you find yourself pondering the possibilities as well as facing the challenges? You ask yourself the question, how would a person of faith respond in this setting? And then you pray. You pray for the Spirit to give you strength so that in that place, in that situation, in that set of circumstances, God's kingdom may come and God's will may be done, just as we pray every Sunday. In those places, as it always is in heaven, you pray for the strength to be able to add a tinge and a tone of abundant life in places where death has for too long held sway. And in the process, you come to discover through your obedience that your life has worth. It's pleasing to Jesus. You're bearing fruit for the gospel. And along the way, it's remarkable how through your obedience, you learn a little more and a little more and a little more of the knowledge of God's will through your obedience, doing what God gives you to do. In that place, you began to understand, as Paul says, more of the knowledge of God. It takes a long time to learn that truth, day by day by day by day. But every step of the way, it becomes so very worth it. This past week, the Church of Jesus Christ lost a very important voice, a remarkable voice. Eugene Peterson, many of you will know, pastor and author who wrote over 30 books, many of which no doubt are in our church library, responsible for the Message translation of the Bible that so many of you are familiar with. Perhaps his most famous work, titled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Step by step, moment by moment, work by work, contributing to the good news of Jesus Christ and the inbreaking of God's kingdom in the world. But as I was thinking this week about Peterson's passing and Paul's prayer for the church, it was in another book that Peterson wrote that I remembered a statement that reflected not only Peterson's heart, but it resonates with my heart as well. It's in his book, Tell It Slant. Tell It Slant. And in that book, Peterson writes, in my life, he says, and this is a man, long obedience in the same direction. In my life, he says, it is rootage that I am after. Rootage as I go to worship and to work. Rootage as I read the newspapers and talk with my friends. Rootage as I vote in elections and buy tires for my car. Rootage as I get cancer and have surgery and convalesce. Rootage as I accumulate birthdays and anniversaries. Rootage as I write letters and read books. And then he concludes by quoting a fellow author, Maxine Kuhman, who talked about putting down roots and putting up leaf. And Peterson concludes, he says, that is what I am after. That is what I am after. In my life and in my faith, I want so desperately to put down roots and put up leaf. What are you after in your life? What really is driving you as a follower of Jesus Christ? May I suggest that you begin thinking about how you might bloom where you are planted, about how you might put down roots in the places where God has put you, and begin displaying a lot of brilliant leaf. And if you do that in the places where there has been nothing but despair and disillusionment, Jesus may begin to rule the day. And one day, when he comes to rule all of eternity, and you are called upon to give an account of your life and your faith and your stewardship, you will discover that your life has been worthy. Your life has been pleasing to the Lord. Your life has borne fruit in every good work. And day by day by day, you have grown. You have grown in the knowledge of God.